Here we go, taking you home Thursday style with the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. I am Brett Rupp, along with Caleb Hatch, and we've got you connected on the Parkview Sports Medicine text line at 46862. Pretty excited about today's show because we get to visit with our good buddy Chris Denary, TV play-by-play voice for the Indiana Pacers. We don't get a chance to talk to him too much between, let's say beginning of May and the start of basketball season. But, of course, the Pacers are back, getting set to start the season in another week or so. And last night they had exhibition or preseason, whatever you want to call it, basketball against the Memphis Grizzlies. We'll talk to Chris Denary about what we've seen with this new-look Pacers squad. Not new because of the personnel, new because of the scheme, the style, and the coach, Rick Carlisle, who returns to the Pacers bench. We'll talk to Chris Denary coming up at 4:35. Also on the way, it's our high school football picks of the week. That's a warning, Ted. Our good buddy Ted Fry, he doesn't like it when we put cartoon sounds into our high school football picks of the week, but that's the whole point of the segment, is we don't take it all that serious. That's why we put cartoon sounds into the segment, and they'll be there again today because we will have our high school football picks of the week coming up at 5:08 p.m. right here on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM, being presented by Midwest Concussion Clinic. And then we've got Tommy Shegler. He is back. Parkview Sports Medicine Director. He's been out, been on the IL, the injured list, for the last couple of weeks, but he is making his triumphant return to make his picks. I'm trying to remember. Caleb, do you remember Dukevich? What did Dute pick for his upset special? Do you have any idea? I was trying to look at the games, and I was trying to remember what his upset specials were, and just to see if I could remember if Dute hit either one of them over the 2 weeks he filled in, and I can't tell you.
I have no idea.
I wish I knew, because, Tommy, he'd make sure to let us know if he was hitting on an upset special. He doesn't forget to bring those things up. But Tommy will be back. He'll be here at 5:35. So last night I couldn't watch the game because it's on NBA TV, and one of the channels I don't get on my old cable system is NBA television, so I couldn't watch the Pacers take on the Memphis Grizzlies last night, which was very disappointing to me because I was hoping it was on a station I could actually watch, because I wanted to see not only the Pacers, but I did want to see John Conchar because he started last night. But the Pacers, big comeback for them in the fourth quarter. They were able to overcome, I think they were down 8 or 9 points there in the fourth quarter, and they ended up coming back and beating the Memphis Grizzlies 109-107 down the stretch. Jeremy Lamb was kind of the hero in the final moments. He had a couple of big buckets. Pacers, though, did not shoot the basketball well, and that's going to be something they've got to do under this new kind of system, because Rick Carlisle depends on the three-pointer, and he wants to space the floor. And the only way you create space on the floor is if you're able to hit some shots from the outside. The Pacers were just 5 of 25 from distance last night. Miles Turner, 4 mighty rebounds in 29 minutes of action. And everybody says, well, that's not his game. Well, it's like, why else would you play a guy that's about 7 feet tall? I mean, you got Sabonis in there. Do you need 2 7-footers? Oh, that's right. He blocks shots. I forgot. He's like a defensive player of the year in his own mind. Chris Duarte had 6 rebounds for the Pacers. And again, Miles Turner had 4. You know who else had more rebounds than Miles Turner last night? Want to take a guess, Caleb? Who had more rebounds last night in the Pacers-Grizzlies game than Miles Turner?
I'm going to guess John Conchar.
John Conchar! Give yourself a bell. 6 or 8 rebounds. He had 8 rebounds. He had 6 assists. Conchar, as I said, he started the game. He played 27 minutes. He had his rest period in the fourth quarter, and that's actually when the Pacers started to make their comeback. I think he was out of the game. It was like an 8 or 9 point game. He got back in there, and I think the Grizzlies were still up by 2. But I think the first play after he returned to the game with like 3 minutes left was a 3-point play. And I believe it was Jeremy Lamb that hit the 3-point play on a bucket and an and one. And so he ended up playing the last 3 minutes and finished up the game. But he ended up 27 minutes in total, 7 of 11 from the field, 2 for 4 from 3, 8 rebounds, 6 assists. He had 16 points for the Memphis Grizzlies. Now, remember, the Pacers did play pretty heavy minutes with their starters. So this is not just summer league basketball. This is really, truly, it's a warm-up for the season. And so you get a lot of the starters. They're not going to play the 32, 34, 36 minutes they might play in a regular season game. But they do play 26, 28. I've seen some teams that are playing their starters 34, 35 minutes, which seems like a lot of time to be playing starters in the preseason. I guess I think about football and think, okay, you don't play more than a half at about any preseason football game, if that. But last night, big night for John Conchar. And, you know, as is usually the case, I like to text him. So last night I gave Conchar a little text. And I said to him, nice game. Got some shots up! Exclamation point. Because every time I text him, I usually tell him to shoot more. I'm like a bad parent. Keep grinding. You demand. Thumbs up. He says, in typical John Conchar fashion, thanks, Rump. Man of many words. But, no, it was good. It was good to see him have another solid game for Memphis. Memphis is deep, and it's going to be an interesting rotation for the Memphis Grizzlies. For the Pacers, I tell you what, Caleb, the more I see these Pacers in the preseason, the more I question whether Chris Duarte is going to be one of the starters. And I think that's one of the questions we've got to ask of Chris Denari, is who does he see as a starting five? Malcolm Brogdon was out of the game again last night. Boy, it seems like nobody gets more little knick-knack injuries than Malcolm Brogdon, whether it's a finger, a toe, a tweak in a muscle. It seems like he misses a lot of time. You know my feelings. I tried to get rid of him last year. I tried to get him rid of him in the offseason. I don't think the Pacers need him. They don't need his leadership. I think guys that do what Malcolm Brogdon does are a dime a dozen in the NBA, and I don't think you necessarily need him. But will Duarte be one of the starters for the Pacers when you get the season started next week?
I don't know if he'll be a starter. Now, that does depend on the availability of Caris LeVert, I guess. So,
yeah, because you got LeVert, TJ Warren. Mm-hmm. I mean, those guys are two pretty much locked in starters, you would expect.
So when you put it that way, yeah, I guess it's pretty likely he'll start. Now, once those guys come back, fingers crossed with Warren, because this has been a much longer ordeal than I think anyone, Warren himself included, ever anticipated. But Duarte, a lot of people were upset with the pick, but from my understanding, what people have seen of him in these exhibition preseason games, and again, let's not understate, these are preseason games, but he's played pretty well. And for a guy coming into the league at 24 who should already have all the tools, you just hope that he can continue to grow and there's more of a ceiling than what we already see right now.
You were one of the guys, though, that was not real high on the pick.
No.
You thought they missed their opportunity when they took Duarte.
No, I mean, he's a good player, but yet again, it feels like the Pacers often pick guys who have no ceiling and a high floor. We've seen that so many times over multiple GMs with Indiana over the past, decade plus? Well,
clearly, they didn't want a project guy.
Yeah.
There were a couple of those guys you could go after. They wanted a guy that was a little more seasoned, a little more prepared to step in and play.
And they tried that with TJ Leaf, and it just failed miserably.
Should we go through the list? Because TJ Leaf's not the only one.
Tyler Hansbrough was a guy who had, you know, no ceiling, whereas Leaf was a guy who they thought would have a ceiling.
Do you consider Aaron Holiday at this point a bust for the Pacers? Does he go into that company? He's probably not as bad as a Hansbrough or a TJ Leaf. But
no, nowhere close to those guys. I mean, he's had flashes of brilliance. That's the thing. I mean, he's played well in spots, but he's not consistent.
46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Speaking of John Conchar, the Mastodons, they're going to be opening the season, and it's just around the corner, November 9th. They'll open it up against Earlham. The Dons had announced that the preseason exhibition game against Defiance has been canceled, So the Dons open the season against Earlham. It should be a chance to get a lot of players on the floor. At least that's why you schedule this type of game early, to give everybody a chance to play together and then kind of prepare for game number two, which is a Division I opponent in Austin Peay. Pretty good program out of the Ohio Valley. They'll play Austin Peay at the Allen County War Memorial Coliseum 1 week later. And then on Friday, November 19th, the Dons head to Minneapolis to take on the Minnesota Golden Gophers. Caleb, I'm saying it right now, that is a winnable game for the Mastodons.
Minnesota's a mess. They lost Marcus Carr, for example.
Oh, they lost quite a bit. I mean, that's a rebuild happening in Minnesota. And with the Dons getting them early in the season, it may be a real advantage for the Mastodons. So I'm calling it now. What is today's date? It is October 14th. Okay, mark it down, October 14th on the Sports Rush, approximately 4:12, 4:13 p.m. Mastodons upset the Minnesota Golden Gophers. There we go. The Dons also play Michigan, and I'm not saying anything about that one. No bold prediction.
Is Michigan going to be preseason number one, or is it going to be someone else?
Boy, that's a good question.
I mean, Purdue, in some places, I saw a publication out today that had them at number two.
Really? The Boilermakers?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen Purdue. Most places.
Four to six is kind of the range I've been seeing.
But two was kind of the highest I had seen. I mean, Michigan.
Michigan's going to be the favorite probably in the Big Ten. Michigan and Purdue probably kind of co-favorites in the Big Ten. I mean, you know, Michigan lost a couple of people, and I mean, they still have great talent, great depth, and I mean, they're still going to be really good. But if you look around the Big Ten, a lot of teams got hit this year with graduation. I mean, Ohio State, Iowa. I'd have to look at Michigan State's roster, because to be quite honest, I don't even know what Michigan State has. They had the guard who was there for like 6 years, and it seemed like he was there for a long time. But I look around the Big Ten, and I'm thinking, you know what? Indiana's got a chance because of other teams having to rebuild. Indiana's got a chance to be, I think, a top five or six team in the Big Ten, maybe even a top four team. Purdue, Michigan, I think they're the two best teams. Wisconsin had a couple of guys graduate. Minnesota's a rebuild. It's not going to come from Nebraska. Iowa lost a couple of guys, including Luca Garza. Although they had, what was the freshman's name? Did he stay or did he transfer? You know, the other thing you have to remember, so many guys can just pick up and leave now. So it's like sometimes you assume guys are coming back. I just had this experience because I just put in my vote for Horizon League for preseason, the preseason poll where you pick the teams and where they'll finish. And they sent with the ballot, they sent rosters for every team in the Horizon League. And I went through, and players I thought that were back are not back. A couple of players transferred, a couple of players opted to graduate, I guess, where they had the option of getting the extra year. And so it's a very confusing season for college basketball because you didn't have traditional seniors. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. So coming up on the show, big baseball game tonight, should be a thriller with the Dodgers-Giants. It seems like an odd choice for the Dodgers. And who they're going to end up starting on the mound tonight. Of course, Webb is going for the Giants, and I think that gives San Francisco a very distinct advantage because he's been terrific for San Francisco this year. But Dodgers-Giants tonight. Also, we'll talk more Colts football, high school football. Chris Denary is going to join the show coming up at 4:35. And, of course, any questions, comments, or suggestions, you can fire away at 46862, 46862. Mr. Fry has come out firing today once again on the Parkview Sports Medicine text line that I am a IU homer, which fascinates me because I have never been connected to, associated with, fan of Indiana University. But anytime I mention the Hoosiers and I don't mention Butler in the same sentence, I'm apparently an IU homer. If you go back and recall our last segment, Caleb, I took the Purdue Boilermakers to finish at the top of the Big Ten. I said, in fact, this might be a year with Indiana even rebuilding with a new coach, that Indiana could still, with the roster they have, take advantage of some of the teams that lost key players and maybe finish in the top five or six of the Big Ten. That's the only thing I said about Indiana, and somehow that makes me an IU homer.
To be fair, so CBS Sports is what I was referencing earlier where they ranked all the college basketball teams. Purdue is at number two on the list. This is courtesy of Matt Norlander. I forgot Gonzaga at number one, because of Chet Holmgren coming in, and then obviously Drew Timmy staying, and they also keep Andrew Nimhardt as well on the roster.
Talk about a quick I can't even call that a rebuild, quick reload.
Yeah, I mean, that's more than a reload. It's almost like they upgraded in some areas. He has IU at number 23 on the list, so he's pretty high in the Hoosiers, and that's because of Mike Woodson.
Okay, so he's a IU homer too, just to be clear.
Correct.
Okay. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Colts prepping for the Houston Texans. And, of course, the injury front is always the top story, it seems, each and every week as far as who shows up to practice, who gets added to the injury list, who doesn't make it on the practice field, what their status looks like for Sunday. And there's some encouraging news for the Colts, a key player that could be returning to the field. Now, he still got to be cleared by doctors before Sunday, but T.Y. Hilton versus Houston is generally a problem. Houston, you might have a problem because T.Y. Hilton has just torched the Houston Texans in his career. And he is back. He is, it seems to me, he's ready to go. He just has to be cleared by the medical staff to get back on the field. I know Carson Wentz is excited about it. And T.Y. Hilton spoke to the media, and he seems pretty excited to be back.
The first 2 days when I got home, I almost hung it up. I can't even lie. You know, I didn't pretty much tell nobody but the people close to me. I was close to hanging up. I talked to Andrew. That's one of the probably wrong thing to do, but he me and him went out a couple times, and just he came over to my house. We talked, man. You know, he just wanted me to be, you know, be good with it. You know, get back healthy. You know, don't rush it. Take your time, and before you get back, make sure you talk to me. So, but other than that, man, he was big. He was big supportive, man. My family just continued to check on me. So, you know, I was good, man. Once I got over those 2 to 3 days, you know, I started feeling better. I could sleep, and just coming back in here that first week I came back in here and just seeing those guys, man, it was a bigger picture, you know, than just me, you know, dealing with what I was dealing with, man, just seeing those guys and bringing that smile to their face and uplifting them and you know, just coming back, you know, just being back to practice. You could just see them this week when they found out and, you know, everybody just went crazy. And, you know, it's kind of just like they just, oh, forget about Baltimore. Let's move on, you know, just like, you know, they're just bringing that smile back to them. And that's what we needed. And, you know, if that's what I could bring to them, man, then I'm doing a good job.
Of course, he checked with Andrew Luck for advice as far as what to do. That was the funny part of that was when he said he was feeling the pain, wasn't sure about whether it was time to hang it up, thought he would talk to some people about it. The first person he calls is Andrew Luck, probably not the person if you still want to play football to get advice from. But apparently what Andrew Luck told him was give it time. And don't return until you're 100% healthy and ready to get back out there. And I think that T.Y. Hilton is ready to go. T.Y. Hilton could be a difference maker because, again, the vertical threat, Michael Pittman is starting to show signs of becoming that number one type guy. I just don't think he's going to be an elite number one as far as NFL standards because I still don't see Pittman as being a vertical threat. Now, what they were able to do with him against Baltimore was throw the deep jump ball and let him go up and get it over a smaller corner. But it's not like he's going to outrun everybody and get 3 or 4 yards of separation where T.Y. Hilton can actually do that. He can give you a double move and he can end up past you by 3 or 4 yards. And I think that that brings an important element to the Colts offense that has been missing through the first. In fact, if you think about it, Carson Wentz, that's the one thing that they talked about was the strength of his arm and his ability to make plays and throw balls deep downfield. You had Philip Rivers, who throws that shot put style throw. He's not exactly a long ball thrower. So, you know, it seemed to be an advantage having Carson Wentz come in with the ability to throw the deep ball, but you got to have somebody you can throw it to. And now you've got perhaps T.Y. Hilton coming back Sunday. Maybe, maybe not. We don't know at this point. But I would bet with the numbers that T.Y. Hilton has put up against the Texans, he's pretty anxious to get back out there.
Yeah, and I think I would be surprised if he's not cleared for Sunday, honestly. And I get today was kind of the first day back, but we'll see what happens on the practice report come Friday. But I'd expect him to be back. I mean, as long as he is cleared by doctors, that's ultimately what this is up to. And
you think 1-4 makes a difference with the doctors versus a 4-1?
No, but.
Oh, you're being nice.
I mean, the doctors are going to make whatever call they make, and the coaches and T.Y. really can't do a lot about it. But if he's progressed, he looks healthy, obviously not on the practice field, but he sounds healthy. He sounds like he's ready to go. And if that's the case, that'll be a big boost for the Colts on offense on Sunday.
So everything is kind of behind this week because Colts didn't actually practice yesterday. They projected who would have practiced were there to be a practice. They only had a walkthrough, but today they were supposed to get out and practice. And did they release a injury report or a practice report for today, Caleb?
Haven't seen it yet. I don't know if they have posted it. I am searching.
Usually we get it at the 4 o'clock hour.
I see it now.
Ah, here we go.
Okay.
Off the presses, let's get the list of who is on that injury report for practice today for the Colts.
Rodrigo Blankenship did not practice. Andrew Sendejo did not practice, along with Braden Smith, Kamoko Ture, and Jordan Wilkins. Non-football illness there.
Braden Smith ever going to get back out there? I didn't think it was that serious of an injury, but it's week by week. He did not practice at all today?
No. And it's a foot and a thumb injury. So battling a couple of different things. Darius Leonard, Xavier Rhodes, Rock Ya-Sin, all limited. Kwity Paye, Isaac Rochelle had full practice.
I think Ya-Sin makes it back on the field this week. I think they're prepping him to kind of build him up and have him out there on Sunday. Because I think he was pretty close last week, just didn't quite get to where they needed him to be to put him out there. When you're in a corner in coverage, it's pretty vital that you've got your ankles underneath you. But I'm kind of surprised by Braden Smith. I thought it was going to be a fairly short-term thing, maybe 2-3 weeks, and here we are, is this the fourth week that he's going to miss? He only played 1 week, didn't he? Did he play 1 week or did he play two? I'm trying to remember when he went out. He might have gotten injured in the Rams game. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Coming up tomorrow, high school football, time to decide who will get the victory bell for next season. Yes, we're going to find out who wins the Summit Athletic Conference, and we're going to be at the game that will be pivotal in deciding the championship. The Snyder Panthers invade Bishop Luers to take on the Bishop Luers Knights. It's one loss Snyder. Undefeated Bishop Luers. Tomorrow night, coverage begins with the Parkview Sports Medicine High School Football Tailgate pregame show at 6, and then play-by-play Snyder Luers at 7, and we'll wrap things up with the postgame show presented by Indiana Physical Therapy at the Southgate Pizza Hut up until 11 o'clock. We'll wrap up the regular season with all the scores, highlights, coaches, interviews, and more. It's all part of our Friday night high school football coverage here at 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Time to talk some Pacers basketball with the voice of the Indiana Pacers on television, Chris Denary. He'll join us next here on The Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. About 30 minutes away from our high school football picks of the week presented by Midwest Concussion Clinic. Stay tuned for winners and losers coming up in week number 9, the final week of the regular season before we turn it over to IHSAA state tournament play. sectionals next Friday night. Oh, should get this out real quick while we're talking about sectionals. Next Friday night, we'll be up at East Noble, the Leo Lions East Noble Knights. That will be our featured game of the week with the entire gang heading up to Kendallville, starting with the Parkview Sports Medicine High School football tailgate pregame show, 6 o'clock next Friday to open the postseason. And speaking of opening seasons, the Pacers are just about there to get this season underway. In fact, now you've got Gainbridge Fieldhouse now open last night, open for business as the Pacers hosted the Memphis Grizzlies in the preseason. To talk about Pacers basketball, nobody better than our guest right now on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline, TV play-by-play voice of the Indiana Pacers on Bally Sports Indiana. It is Chris Denary. Chris, good to be talking to you again.
Hey, great to talk to you, Brett. And it was, I saw a couple of tweets last night from people. I know you did Conchar's games with Purdue Fort Wayne, and boy, he was really good last night.
You know, I was going to start with that. I was going to say, before we get to Pacers players, I got to talk about my boy John Conchar. You know, that just looking for that opportunity. It is such a tough team to get a solid spot in the rotation because they're young, they're deep, they're pretty talented. And he had his chance because a couple of guys were out last night, and pretty pleased with the way he put together a pretty good line. 16 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, 7 of 11 from the field. Pretty good night for John Conchar.
Yeah, he very impressive. I mean, when you look at somebody like him that, you know, comes from a non-traditional basketball school, if you will. I think all of us here in Indiana know what Purdue Fort Wayne has done, but, you know, he doesn't play for a couple of years in the NBA, gets his opportunity as a free agent, and now he's in year three. And I think he's somebody that gives the Grizzlies a lot of depth. I mean, I think they're a really good young team. We didn't see a lot of the stars last night. And I asked Quinn Buckner, I said, they sort of remind me of what the Pacers did back in 2011 is they made the playoffs as the eighth seed, got beat by Derrick Rose and the Bulls 4-1, but that really set the table for the next 3 years when they went to the Eastern Conference semis against Miami and then twice in the Eastern Conference finals. That was a young team, Paul George, Roy Hibbert, you had David West, and they really came together. And that's a little bit what I see with this Memphis team. Is, you know, they got in the playoffs last year, even though they got bounced out in the first round, it's important to get that postseason experience. So I know a lot of people across the league expect big things from them, and I think John Conchar will be a good part of that.
And the thing about Memphis, too, is I think they're trying to figure out, do we build around a very young, and he is still very young, Ja Morant, and put a bunch of people that are similar in age around him, or do we try to incorporate and find some veterans to bring in? And they're still kind of in that process of trying to figure it out in Memphis.
Yeah, they're the second youngest team in the NBA behind Oklahoma City, and they don't have a 30-year-old. I mean, their two oldest players are Kyle Anderson and Steven Adams, who we didn't see last night. You know, it feels like Steven Adams has been around forever, and he's only 28, so... Yeah, so they do have some veteran presence. They just aren't as old as, you know, other veterans in the NBA. So they'll be a fascinating team to watch early. They've got an injury that will hurt them early, and Dylan Brooks, who's been such a good player for them, but they will be fun to watch. And what's ironic is the Pacers and the Grizzlies don't play again in the regular season until March. It's like the Pacers have like 13. They played Memphis twice in the last 13 games. So both Indiana and Memphis will play nearly a whole NBA season before they see each other in March.
Well, that'll be perfect. I'll be done with the Mastodons basketball schedule. Maybe I can get down there and check out Conchar in person. Let's talk about the Pacers, because last night was a big comeback and a good win down the stretch for the Pacers. I know it's only preseason, but when you've got a new coach and you come off a disappointing season, I think these types of wins can be important.
Well, especially with the way that they were able to orchestrate some things late. They always run through game simulations in practice, but it's practice. It's not game situation. And I think they were able to do that down the stretch, take some timeouts, set up a play for Jeremy Lamb, and then have to defend in the final 3 seconds to hold on to the win. And for somebody, Brett, like Jeremy Lamb, he had ACL surgery in February of 2020, just before COVID hit. And so his rehab process was really difficult. He came back last year, only played half of the 72 games, never seemed like himself. And I thought last night, especially as he took over in the fourth quarter, it was more like the Jeremy Lamb we know. And I think that's a huge help to the Pacers. They've got some injury situations right now, but we're told that the Brogdon injury, the Keelan Martin, the Justin Holiday, if it was the regular season, maybe they all would have played last night. You have Caris LeVert sidelined. Hopefully he'll be back soon. And then T.J. Warren's probably the most serious of those injuries. So somebody like Jeremy Lamb, those minutes last night were hugely important for him and especially for the team as they get ready for the regular season.
Malcolm Brogdon not on the floor last night. What's his status?
Well, he injured his shoulder in practice a couple of days ago, right at the end of practice. But I was told that if this was a regular season situation, he would be able to play. So I would doubt if they play him tomorrow night. I think Rick Carlisle looks at tomorrow night as just a chance maybe to see more of the young guys. Maybe the starters play a quarter and a half. But you want guys healthy for next Wednesday when the regular season starts. And I would anticipate that Brogdon would be ready to go.
Who are the five starters next Wednesday at this point?
Well, if people are healthy, and I'm not counting Caris LeVert, because I think there's a chance that he's back maybe in week two. I mean, we don't know for sure. We've not been told. He's nursing that sore back. I would think the starting lineup would be Malcolm Brogdon and Chris Duarte, the good-looking rookie from Oregon in the backcourt, Sabonis, Turner, and Justin Holiday. That's what I would think the starting lineup would be, and that would bring veterans like Jeremy Lamb and Torrey Craig off the bench for the Pacers.
You mentioned Duarte. I want to kind of highlight him because I don't want to say he was a controversial pick, but there were certainly some polarizing opinions when he was taken by the Pacers in the draft. Clearly a guy that you expect to have an immediate impact. He's looked pretty good so far in the preseason. Is he exceeding expectations or just living up to them at this point?
I don't know if he's exceeding, though he had 21 points last night. He was 9 of 18 from the field. I think he has just shown that he has a really solid all-around game. He was considered one of the best defensive players in college basketball last year at Oregon. He was the top shooting guard in the nation. He won the Jerry West Award. He was the player of the year in the Pac-12. So he's a guy that has a really good resume. Much of the talk was the fact that he's 24 years old. He's, you know, an older player. But I think that has worked to his advantage, and I think it also is what the Pacers needed. They needed a rookie to come in and contribute immediately, and that's what they're going to get from Chris Duarte. The other rookie that they got in the first round is younger at 19, and Isaiah Jackson, who played at Kentucky, and he's a guy I think that when the draft happened, most people thought he would play for the Mad Ants in the G League. I don't see that happening at all. I see him being somebody that will be in the rotation. It might vary from game to game, but this young man has a huge upside, and we're already seeing it here early in the preseason. So I would think that he has a real chance to be a part of that second unit when the regular season starts next week.
What kind of start do you expect from the Pacers? With these injuries, a new coach, trying to learn somewhat of a new scheme offensively, can they get there early in the season, or is this going to take a month or two before we start to see kind of the fruits of the labor, I guess, so to speak?
Well, if you look at the schedule, it's difficult. You think of your two home games to start the year. You've got a Miami team that's added Kyle Lowry, who should be very talented a week from Saturday. And then on Monday night, you have the defending champ Milwaukee Bucks in town. So your first two home games are not easy by any stretch. And we also know how difficult it is to win on the road. They have an enormous number of road games in the month of November. The schedule evens out a little bit. I think they have a 6 or 7 game homestand in the month of December. They only have a couple of road games in December. So you've got to sort of survive the end of October and November, because it's going to be a tough schedule. You've got to go out west, those types of things. So I think it's one of those situations, Brett, where, you know, really in that first 30 to 45 days, because of the way the schedule is, if you can hang around the 500 mark, that would be a pretty good start, especially if you, you know, what your situation is with LeVert. You know you're not going to have Warren for a while. I think you'll get LeVert back sooner rather than later. But if you can get healthy, if you can have most of your players available, that will make a huge difference as the season starts next week.
Always appreciate you, Chris. Always enjoy your coverage of Pacers basketball. What's the TV schedule?
We've got 81 of the 82 games. So the Pacers only have one exclusive national game. That's on TNT in December. So we'll have you covered for all but one of the regular season games. We've got tomorrow night's telecast as well, 7 o'clock, final preseason game against Cleveland. Next Wednesday for the road game in Charlotte, we'll have an hour pregame show to get you ready for the season. And then the home opener is a week from Saturday, a 7 o'clock game against Miami. So we have all that set for you here in 21-22.
Looking forward to it. Chris, always appreciate it. Thanks so much.
All right, thanks.
Yep,
all
Chris. Right, Chris Denary joining us here on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline, TV play-by-play voice of the Indiana Pacers. We'll take a break. We'll come back. And in the next hour, of course, it's going to be a busy hour. We're going to have our high school football picks of the week being presented by Midwest Concussion Clinic. Also, Tommy Schegler from Parkview Sports Medicine. He'll weigh in. We'll get his picks for what to expect out of the final week of the regular season. Rain could have an impact. Will it actually have an impact that could change a game or a score? Like, for instance, I keep looking at that Bishop Lewis Snyder game, and we talk about one of the advantages for Bishop Lewis is the fact that they've got that aerial attack. Well, does rain or wind that could possibly be here in the forecast tomorrow night, could that maybe ground the Lewis aerial attack? Could it maybe even things up a little bit between Snyder and Lewis? It'll be interesting to see it develop, and of course we'll be there with the coverage in 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.
Podcasts by Federated Media.